Let's pray together as we begin this part of our service. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for the gift of Jesus, salvation that you've given to us, your only unique Son, your only begotten Son, to die for us and to pay the penalty for our sins. Lord, we just pray that you will help us to understand the Bible, the Word of God today as we read it, and to pray it into our lives as we unfold these verses and we think about the things that Jesus showed us through the things he showed his disciples. Lord, bless us, guide us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 22, and I'll be reading verses 39 through 46. Luke chapter 22, and I'll be reading verses 39 through 46. You might recognize the story. It's the same story that Bruce read for us, only in a condensed version that Dr. Luke wrote. So here we go. Luke 22, verses 39 through 46. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to his disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." So before us, we have a description of Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Have you ever prayed about difficult and or costly decisions? That's what we have here in this passage. Jesus praying about costly and difficult decisions. Now, Jesus prayed for those times, and we will too. You know, the Gospel of Luke is unique in a lot of ways. For instance, it's the longest book in the New Testament. It's the longest book. It covers more of the life of Jesus than any other book. It begins before the other books, ends after the death of Jesus. So it gives us a longer time period about Jesus in any other book. And it also tells us a lot about women and children and their responses to Jesus. The book itself contains over 800 words that are not found in the other Gospels. That makes sense if Luke was a doctor, educated, and who are the other Gospel writers? Matthew is a tax collector, Mark, probably a translator, and John, a fisherman. So it's unique. God used everything about Dr. Luke in order to get exactly what he wanted written for us to know about Jesus. So there are a lot of things about the Gospel of Luke itself that are unique, special. It's God's love letter, special love letter written in a detailed way for you and me to learn about our Savior. But the most important thing about the uniqueness of the Gospel of Luke concerning is this passage especially is that many people refer to the Gospel of Luke as the Gospel of Prayer. It's one of the other things that Luke really focused on, and that was prayer. And it shows us how the Son of Man, the perfect man, depended upon God. And as his life comes to an end, we see him intensifying his prayer life. You see John 17. Then you see this passage, maybe 3 hours in prayer in Gethsemane. So Jesus actually intensifies his prayer life as he knows and sees the time is coming sooner. So Luke records 9 times when Jesus prayed, and 7 of those times are uniquely only written in the Gospel of Luke. So Luke exposes us or reveals to us other times that Jesus prayed that the other gospel writers don't tell us about, because that was his plan, that was his purpose. Jesus always dedicated difficult things in his life to his Heavenly Father in prayer, and so should we, so should we. And this time in the Garden of Gethsemane is recorded in all 4 Gospels. You find it in Matthew chapter 26, in Mark chapter 14, and just mentioned briefly in John chapter 18, verse 1b. And so each one gives us a little more detail about what happened. So what I'm doing today is bringing all these details together. You may not find it in the Luke passage itself, what I'm talking about, but if you turn over to Matthew, that Bruce read, or Mark, you'll see, oh yeah, there it is. And, you know, all these events are recorded for us in all the Gospels as occurring during a certain time period. So you have the Lord's Supper that we're going to celebrate here in just a few minutes. And then you have Gethsemane. And then you have the arrest of Jesus. It's always that way, spelled out for us. There's no other order. Sometimes, like John tells us, there's a lot longer period than the other Gospels and records more things that Jesus said between those time periods. But that's the order. The Lord's Supper, Gethsemane, and then the arrest of Jesus. So the setting is Gethsemane. And the word Gethsemane means oil press. It was a garden full of olive trees, not far from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And it was a quiet place and a frequent meeting place for Jesus and his disciples. You know, because they were surrounded by large crowds of people that were pressing upon them, pressing so much many times they would not be able to eat even or rest. This was a place where they could go to rest and pray. The Bible also tells us who the participants were. Participants were Jesus and 3 of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. Jesus left the other 8 by the gate to the garden. Judas had already left to betray him. I think he did this to choosing his leaders, special leaders, and these guys were in charge of select other guys of the 12 disciples. He did this to teach them an important lesson about prayer. And the Bible tells us that they were only a stone's throw away from him when he prayed. I think they were only that close, the 3 were that close, so that they could hear every word that Jesus said. And they were told to pray too on that Thursday evening so that they wouldn't fall into temptation. They weren't there to pray for him. They were to pray for themselves that they wouldn't fall into temptation. So now let's look at 4 insights. Let's examine 4 insights about Jesus' prayer at Gethsemane. First insight, the feel of the prayer. The feel of the prayer. Look at verses 43 through 44. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and the sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When Jesus prayed, he was in anguish, deeply distressed, overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death. His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground, large, distinct. Have you ever been in anguish? I mean, real pain, anguish. I remember once I was in Slovakia and I had a skiing accident. I went around this corner chasing my youngest son, and there was no snow on the trail, so I hit a big rock, and I tore ligaments in my shoulder, and we went to the emergency room, and the doctor said, well, let's get that shirt off of you. And he started picking that shirt up, and all I saw were these black blotches everywhere. I was in anguish, I mean, real pain. And I said, surely you have scissors. It's okay. I'm in real pain here. You could cut the shirt off. It won't matter to me. Money was not an issue at that time because I was in anguish. God's will for Christ to die on the cross involved physical suffering. He was in anguish. He would be in anguish. But we shouldn't forget it was also involved suffering of his soul. Isaiah 53, verses 10 through 11, says the following. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many and will bear their iniquities. In other words, their sin. As Jesus entered into these sufferings, he told his disciples to watch and to pray. He then, when he went into the garden, his very posture while praying showed the enormity of the weight that he was bearing. The normal posture for a Jewish man when he was praying was standing up. And here it tells us that Jesus knelt. And Matthew, Mark tell us they actually fell on his face when he was praying. When he prayed, he was praying in complete submission to the Father. Yes, great agony, feel the prayer. Great submission to the Father for what was to come. The second insight, the content of the prayer. The content of the prayer. Look at 42, verse 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. According to the Gospel of Mark, Jesus addresses his Father, his prayer to Abba, Father. Abba, Father. To Dad, or Daddy, is how we could translate it. And his request was, take this cup from me. And the other Gospels tell us that he prayed this prayer three times. Which kind of tells us it's okay to pray the same prayer three times. You know, if you have the same request to God, it's okay to pray the same thing more than once. Because Jesus did. Each time he prayed, he was in full submission to his Father's will, requesting each time that his disciples stay awake and pray with him. It tells us in this passage that the disciples were just a stone throw away. How far can you throw a stone? Me, not as far as I used to, but I can still wing that thing. Even though they were close to Jesus, not real close, but close enough, they could still hear him. And even though they were that close, the disciples fell asleep because they were exhausted with sorrow. Ever felt that kind of sorrow? They were sorrowful because they understood that Jesus was going to go to the cross and die. They were sorrowful because they knew that Peter was going to deny Jesus three times. Not just once, but three times. They knew that they would all fall away. Every one of them would fall away. And Jesus, in that context, didn't ask them to pray for him. He was going to the cross, lay down his life for them and for us. But he asked them to pray for themselves. Jesus knew the tests of their faith that they would soon experience. He knew that these guys were sincere. He knew what they believed, but he also knew that they were but dust. Dust. Too weak to follow through on what they promised. We see the grace of God here exhibited, don't we? The grace of God. Third insight, the meaning of the prayer. I'm going to read verse 42 again. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Take this cup from me is the key phrase. A cup in the Bible can refer to something that is blessing to us, or it can refer to us something that's judgment for us. And this cup in this context refers to the judgment of God. Jesus was facing his death on the cross, where the full fury of God's anger, God's wrath for sin, would fall on his shoulders. The Bible tells us that he who had no sin would become sin for us. Not only that, but for the first time in eternity and for the last time in eternity, Jesus would be separated from his Father. And in that process, he would become the sin bearer for mankind. It certainly was a heavy burden. When his disciples failed him, God provided an angel to come to encourage our Lord. You know, Luke also records that God did the same thing for Jesus after Jesus' temptation. The other Gospels do not record that. Only Luke records those two things. Peter, being an eyewitness to these events, later writes in 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. There's an emphasis there. He himself, nobody else, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you were healed. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to heal us from our sins, to buy us back, to rescue us, to pay the price. Fourth insight, last thing, the answer to his prayer, verses 45 and 46. When he rose from prayer, went back to his disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. This records for us the third time, according to Matthew and Mark, that Jesus went away to pray and came back and found his disciples sleeping. And it was the same prayer that he prayed each time. But because of their exhaustion from sorrow, the cup was not removed. The penalty that was meant for sinners fell on who? God's Son, right? Fell on God's Son. And Jesus would learn obedience from what he suffered. And Jesus would be made perfect. And Jesus would die on the cross. And God, through that whole process, would give him the strength to drink the cup that he's praying about and later to be resurrected from the dead. So God answered his prayer. Not in the way that Jesus prayed. You know, a lot of us think that, hey, three strikes and you're out, right? Three strikes and you're going to be sent back to the dugout. Well, the disciples failed their Lord three times in a row in this passage. But God didn't count them out. By his grace, God gave his Son to go to the cross and die for everybody, including these disciples, who three times here were not able to pray with him for this time period. As we started out, we talked about decisions and praying. Have you ever had to pray for costly and difficult decisions? I have. And I'm sure you, if you haven't, you will in the future. And Jesus spent an enormous amount of time praying for every decision he made. But the Bible talks about a special prayer. And maybe you're here today and you've never prayed that prayer. And it's the most important prayer. And that is the prayer to ask God to forgive you and to be your Savior. To bring you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, of the Son that he loves. Never done that, and you can do that today. You can do that right here. Or you can do that this afternoon after you go home. If you're sincere and you want Jesus to be a part of your life, just pray to God. Ask him to forgive your sins. Ask him to come into your life. Be your Savior and your Lord. And he'll do it. You know why? Because God always hears that prayer. And he always answers that prayer. And count on it. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thanks for the example that Jesus shows us of being a man of prayer, a man who depended upon your will for all the things that happened to him in his life. Lord, help us to follow this example that Jesus has done and live a life of prayer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please.